My name is Rob Conley. Denominationally, I'm the Director of Financial Operations and Chief Financial Officer for IM, the International Missions Office. I also happen to have done unarmed and armed security for about the last 12 years, which has led to my current roles of Head of Safety and Security for the Donelson Fellowship there in Nashville, Tennessee, and to be the Security Officer for our Free Will Baptist National Offices. As CFO for IM Inc., we are concerned about lost souls. That's why we exist, is to take the gospel around the world. I would also encourage you, as a security officer, as a law enforcement officer, or as a team member on a safety security team, to have the same concern. And we really need to start from that basis, is that we're concerned for lost souls. At the Donelson Fellowship, our security team's motto, you can grab a printout at the back there. Our security team's motto is that we want the worst of the worst to come to TDF and have a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. And so we mean that. And so when we start thinking about a security team or a safety team, I think we have to be considerate of what's our motivation? What are we about? And why do we want to do this? So starting with that place is a good place to start. So whether you're going overseas as a missionary, or you're wanting to be on a safety security team, or help your church launch a safety security team, that attitude and that foundation is going to be the best place to start. You know, why do we need church security? Won't the Lord take care of us? Should we just let that go and just pray and let that sort itself out? I think Scripture gives us some guidance. And as you see on the screen or in your printout, you know, I think Proverbs 22:3 tells us, "The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it." So I think there's some wisdom. There's some wisdom that we can seek and that we can, follow. You know, the rebuilding of the wall in the book of Nehemiah, I think, is a good example. And it's there. You can read it. But it basically says they had a tool to work with in one hand and a weapon in the other. And it goes on and talks about, you know, while they were working, they had swords at their side. And so I just think there's some principles throughout Scripture, even in the New Testament. You know, at one point, Christ tells the disciples, "Sell your cloak, go buy a sword." Well, I just think there's some principles that we can find throughout Scripture. One of my favorite understandings is that the shepherd, you know, the shepherd carried a staff. And I think if you look back in the historical context, you know, that shepherd carried that staff for multiple reasons. Sometimes it was to rescue the lamb that had fallen. Other times it was to fight off the wolf. And so I think we even see that. And when we look at the 23rd Psalm, you know, it says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You know, I think there's some principles even there that the ability to protect the flock is comforting to the flock. And so I think that's even a great place to start of why do we have a security team? And to me, in a first world context, sometimes comfort gets blown out of proportion. But I think one of the reasons we need safety and security is so that the people who are coming to worship don't have to worry about those things. Now, what does that mean? That means some of your team is worried about it. And so there's a little trade-off there, but hopefully your team can be the one worried about it. So as we start looking through some of those prudent and rational considerations, we have to start, thinking about, well, what happens when danger presents itself, and that danger can take all different forms. But the first question we got to ask is just what's unique about your church? And so if we have the right basis, we have the right motivation, we have the right heart, we have a ministry first context, then we have to start thinking about, well, what's going on at your church? because, you know, I may be the head of safety and security at TDF, but I doubt there's another church in this denomination like TDF. And the uniqueness of that building, the uniqueness of its property, the uniqueness of its ministries, the uniqueness of its people, just there's so many unique things about that. So you will find out as we go through this, and we have some highly trained professionals with us here today, but we will, yeah, looking over his shoulder. But you will find out, I'm going to give you a whole lot more questions than I do answers. And so what I'm hoping is that you're going to be able to take this back to your church, your district, your location, and just start thinking through with your church leadership, what are some of the things we need to consider? And I will say this, you really, really need, how many of you are pastors? I know you're a pastor. So if you're going back to your church as a pastor, thank you. And there's a big difference between a pastor saying and exercising leadership saying, this is something we need to do, versus this guy over here going to his pastor and saying, this is something we need to do. It's a big difference. Now, the pastor may give full support to this, and I hope he does so publicly, but it's two different beasts. When a pastor allows a safety and security ministry to go into place versus advocates and promotes. So go back to your church, go back to your leadership, make sure they're on board with this process. So here's some things you need to think about as we go through this journey. Location. You need to start identifying your threats. What threats do we face? Health, medical, could those be your greatest threat? What about the size of your congregation? What about unique aspects of your building? Driveways, parking lots, access points. What about team members? Law enforcement, military, security personnel, other laymen, laywomen. And I'll hit this later, I think, but laywomen are very important. Even if it's a medical issue and if it's not a safety or security issue, if you've got something going on in the women's restroom and the only people you have on your team are guys, you got an awkward situation getting ready to happen. So even if you don't have an active member on your team that's a lady, you need to make sure somebody's wife is available to go with you, to help you. I hesitate to get into telling stories, but just two weeks ago at TDF, we had a lady pass out, and it's a woman. She's on the ground and she's wearing a skirt. Well, it's just awkward if a guy's the one that's down there trying to help her. And so get a lady with you, make sure you've got, if at all possible, you really need some women on your team. So, unique needs of your ministries. What are some ministries that you're involved in based on your location, based on the things you have access to? What about outreach to the homeless? What about outreach to those coming out of incarceration and halfway houses? Some of those things. Those are unique to your church. What about the legal requirements or restrictions for your specific location? And I could speak pretty well to Tennessee. I don't know about Alabama. I don't know about Mississippi. I don't know about any of the other states. So there's things that you're going to have to go back and look into. And does it differ for volunteers versus employees? So think through those things. Communications for the team members, training for those team members, etc. So as we look at those a little closer, you know, what or who is close by to your church? As you start to think about what's in proximity to my church, and as you start to go, oh, there's that halfway house that's a half mile down the street, or there's a prison that's across the field behind our street or behind our church. You know, you just start thinking through those, or there's a mental health facility that's relatively close to you. So those are some of the things that you need to come to terms with. Or maybe if you're in a more urban environment, is there a pretty large homeless population that's taken up residence somewhere? Maybe there's an unoccupied building close by. Maybe there's something. But those are some of the things you need to start thinking about. Are there areas known for high crime, drugs, prostitution, trafficking? What about traffic, just vehicles? Could that be an issue for you? What about homeless and transient? And what are your policies? What's your church going to do with the homeless and the transients that come through? You need to start thinking about it. When it comes to homeless and transient, man, it's all over the place with people that I highly respect. One of the guys I train with has a very similar background to you. Lots of task force stuff with the FBI, local law enforcement. His perspective is way on one end that there's so many services offered to those that are homeless. If they're still homeless, they're homeless for a reason, and it's because they chose to be homeless because they want to do drugs. That's one perspective. The other perspective is there's still people that need the Lord. And I'm not really saying those might be juxtaposed. But at the same time, I think well-meaning Christian people can have both perspectives. And I think the Lord can lead this person to that place as well as this person to this place. And so somewhere you've got to come to terms with what is your church's circumstances as it relates to that. You know, what are you going to do for them? What will you not do for them? You know, if you got a homeless person that comes in and starts talking to people and asking for money in your church among your members, what are you going to do? You got a homeless person that comes in and just needs help. And it's the same old story that you've heard, you know, 100 times from the one that came through last week. You know, how are you going to deal with that? You going to give them cash? The church got a policy that they don't give cash. So those are some of the things you need to start thinking about and probably actually nailing down. As a church, our policies are this. So whether it's you as the pastor that has the authority to make those policies, if you have a deacon board, leadership council, or something to that. What about emergency personnel? If you picked up the phone and dialed 911, how long is it going to take people to get to you? And you start thinking about that from, if you're in an urban environment, Nashville, Tennessee, the response time, I think, is 6 to 9 minutes. You know, and that's good, but that ain't great. And so what are you going to do for 6 to 9 minutes? So what about ambulance? How many hospitals are close to you? And so as you move from an urban to a rural environment, maybe some of the security, safety and security threats might go down as you go to a rural environment. But now your response times might go way up. So you might be in a very safe rural setting as far as your church is concerned. But what if it's a medical situation? It's going to take 15 minutes for an ambulance to get to you, maybe 20 minutes. So now you almost need to start shifting from, I need to be worried about an active shooter situation to I really need to be able to provide some decent health, emergency health response for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And so, those are some things you've got to think through and policies you need to set. So as we start to identify threats, what about security issues? Based on the location that we've identified earlier, what are your threats as far as robbery, theft, vandalism? Domestic issues, custody issues. Just a side note, in most church environments, I would venture to guess, and I don't have the stats, but I would venture to guess that domestic and custody is probably your number one issue that you're going to have to face. if you have a nursery and you have kids and there's custody issues going on and the non-custodial parent tries to show up, what are you going to do? What do you have in place? What policies do you have in place? So those are some things to really think through. You know, I happen to be from TDF, and we happen to have this gentleman that's got a fairly wide name recognition, even broader than Free Will Baptist. You know, the name Robert J. Morgan is pretty well known among most all Christians. And there was a time where he was writing articles on Huffington Post and stirring up a whole lot of hornets. And so those are some of the things you need to start thinking through is what, are there any unique aspects of your church like a high-profile pastor? What about community events, circumstances that's brought attention to your church? You know, has your church got wrapped up in some of these more modern cultural issues with the LGBTQ, with abortion rights? You know, what if they come to protest at your church? So you just need to start identifying, you know, here's some things that we probably need to be aware of as a church body. You know, there's one of our sister churches out in Oklahoma that got wrapped up in a legal issue with one of their students. And I don't remember the specifics, but one of their students, I believe, was transitioning. And the policies were very clear that that's not permitted. The parents signed the policies, but the media didn't care. The media just blew it way out of proportion. And so anyway, it's something like that, a potential. If you have a school that's connected to your church, you know, that's a whole nother issue from just a legal mitigation issue. And obviously, when you start thinking about security threats, you know, one of the things you've got to consider is the worst case scenario of the guy or gal that comes through the back door and just starts shooting. You know, just starts doing something. What are you going to do? And do you have people in place? Do you have systems in place? Do you have the policies in place of how you're going to respond to that? And I'm certainly no expert on that. We have an expert here that could probably give us some better guidance, but you need to go back to your church and get your experts together and start talking about, in this context, in this facility, with our access points, with our doors, with where our pulpit is, with how our church is laid out, what are we going to do in that kind of circumstance? Please. Can you hear?
Which is more readily available today is, you know, you've got your sex offender map that's close, shows people close to you in your proximity. But if you, in an area, are unfamiliar with, which most law-abiding citizens are, unfamiliar with the problems in your area, you can go to your local agency and get a breakdown of what is the most crime in your area.
Yes.
If you sort of know what to expect or what would be the most problematic thing in your area.
Yeah. Good.
Whether it be
theft or yeah. Good thought. So medical. I think if you're going to have a safety and security team, you've got to consider medical. Because in the decade or so that we've been doing security in a more formal way there at TDF, we've had to deal with way more medical issues than we have actual security threats. And so people passing out, seizures, you know, just some of those issues, heart racing. So those are some of the things, and you see some of the examples here that range all the way from minor, kids bruise their knee, scrape their knee on a carpet. You know, do you have a first aid kit? You need to get one. Some antiseptics. Again, when it comes to legal issues, be careful, because if you start administering medicines and providing health care, there's legal issues that go with that. So get nurses involved, get doctors involved, get the parents involved, let the parent be the one that actually does the antiseptic, applies the Band-Aid. So just be careful of some of the legal issues that go with that. Some basic safety issues, trip, slip, fall, electrical hazards, kitchen hazards, spills, fires, burns, floods, sharp objects. You know, I reached down the other day to, you know how the doors have the little foot peg that you push into the ground? I reached down and pulled one of those up. Well, there was a screw sticking out of the door and just ripped my arm. You know, so with me, I don't really care, but you don't want a kid doing that. You don't want somebody else doing that. So just be aware of it, just even some of those minor issues. You know, congregation size. You know, the more people that you have, the more considerations you've got to take into account as it relates to safety. So there's good aspects to having more people, because it's, you have more people to choose from a team. But it also means that when you show up to church that morning or afternoon or evening or whatever, there's people coming in your building that you don't recognize. And every single Sunday, I don't recognize them. And now, that's a good problem. That's kind of what we're after. That's kind of the whole point. But from a safety and security issue, you know, it's just something you have to be mindful of. And so that's where you have to get to a place where you're trying to read behavior, not just faces, because the risk of knowing everybody is that even those people you know, you don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know if there's something going on in their marriage. You don't know if there's something going on with their kids. You don't know if there's something going on. You just don't know. And like I said earlier, domestic and custodial issues are some of the biggest things that you really have to be considerate of. And so even that person that you recognize might very well be the one that you really need to be focused on. So what about your building? What about your property? How many access points are on your property? How many different ways can vehicles get onto your property from a public access road? TDF has 3. You know, our church in Donaldson has 3. If you have 1 and you have 1 parking lot, it's just easier to watch. TDF has, you know, how many access doors do you have coming into your building? TDF, I think, has 9 different access doors all around the building. Not just on one side, on all sides. And so from a safety and security standpoint, it becomes very challenging to kind of filter out and to watch all of those access points at all times. Now, we have some main doors that we, you know, where most everybody comes, but there's just a whole lot of ways to get into that building. And the way they're shaped up, in our case, you just can't really lock them all. So at your church and in your context, could you leave them all unlocked, but then once church starts, lock all of them except for one main door? If so, that really is going to cut down. It's going to reduce your risk. It's going to reduce your risk down to letting basically one person watch that door, that parking lot, where if your property is bigger and more complex, at the end of the day, you're just going to need more people to keep track of that. Do you have a way to lock those doors quickly? One of the things that TDF is looking at right now is switching all of our doors over to a way to lock all doors electronically with the remote or an app on a phone. So that if we see somebody running across the parking lot carrying something that he has no business coming to the church with, within a matter of seconds, we can push some buttons and we can shut the whole building down where they can't get in. That's something we're looking at. It won't be cheap and it won't be easy, but maybe you don't need that in your context. You know, if you're at a relatively small church with one access point, you just need somebody to watch that door. And, you know, I'm really not getting into specific practices of, are you a greeter? Are you security? I'm not really getting into that because some of that stuff you'll have to figure out back at your church. You know, how many services do you have through the week? Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, maybe Wednesday night. Do you have other people in the building throughout the week? You know, all those are factors you've got to take into account. So, you've made the decision. Yeah, I think we need to do this. Now you need to start building a team. Well, keep in mind what I said earlier. We want to start from the right place. We want to start from a place that's friendly to ministry, not contradictive to ministry. We want to start from a place that has a concern for lost souls. We want to start from a place that is seeking to make worship more inviting. You don't want a team that's a barrier to that. And so you just have to be very careful as you start to pick your team. Law enforcement, local police, sheriff's office, you know, maybe even federal. One of the things I try to keep in mind is those guys deal with that stuff all day, all week. Maybe they don't want to do that on Sunday. Give them the opportunity to worship on Sunday. Now, if you have a friendship with them, you know them well enough, you know that they want to be a part of your team, fantastic. They're great team members. But my suggestion is just be careful of overtaxing some of those types of professionals. Military. Incredibly relevant training in most cases. My only, and I mean no offense to anybody that's military or prior military here, but keep in mind what we want on our team. We don't want Rambo. Because when the little old family walks in that back door and they see Rambo standing there, it may not be the first impression you want of your church. And so just be really, really careful of who you're selecting. And, you know, I talk about here in the notes, I just mentioned PTSD. There's some guys at our church that if it goes sideways, I know they're going to respond and I know they're going to do the right thing, but they got just a little thread of crazy running through them. And so, you know, just be mindful, the guys that you want on your team and gals that you want on your team, and what the objective is. You may have security personnel that are in your church that, you know, we've got a lot of uniformed security personnel working in this building. You may have unarmed or armed security personnel that have gone through training, have licenses. That might be a resource to you. And then just any other laymen or laywomen, and we'll get into training of how to get those people trained. The four options that I mentioned above are, you know, through which we recruit team members to our security team. There's more, then there's additional training that that we put through team members through based on their background. I mentioned here that our safety team member, we have a safety team and security team. I'll talk more about that in just a second. But a safety team member is just somebody that is over 21, can pass a background check, and is willing to be eyes and ears. That they're just, if they see something that doesn't look right, hear something that doesn't sound right, they're just going to say, hey, let's take a look at this. You know, I've kind of talked through this unique needs of your ministry. Did I jump back? No, I'm good. So unique needs of your ministry, I've kind of talked through that some. Legal requirements in your state. Tennessee requires a proprietary security organization license for anyone that is going to employ any security personnel. I don't know about your state. Now, sometimes a way to get around that is you don't employ them. They're volunteers. If they're all volunteers, there might be a loophole there. That's Tennessee. Be careful of where you're from. A lot of times to get the PSO license, proprietary security organization license, you have to have some pretty significant umbrella liability insurance. So you basically become your church, and TDF has gone through this process. TDF has become a proprietary security organization who has the legal rights in the state of Tennessee to directly employ security officers and pay them. So we could go out and hire somebody that has the proper license and employ them and pay them a compensation and issue them a W-2 form. But there's a process to go through that, your registration. I don't know if there's fees involved, but you've got to have the proper insurance, et cetera. So look through those things. You know, one of the things that we're all trying to do is we're just trying to avoid risk. We're trying to avoid liability. And some of the ways to avoid that liability is to make sure you've got the right people on your team, you've got the right training that you're offering to those people, and you've standardized those training to something that is recognizable by a court. You know, I'll mention this in a second more, but our security team that happens to be armed, every year they have to qualify with the FBI qualification. And so every year we can document that these people had these results in their proficient use of a firearm. And so as you document that, it's just one more layer that you can add to mitigating some risk along the way. Communication. If you're in a small church, you may not need radios. You might be able to grab a cell phone and call somebody that you need to call. You might be able to yell across the room. But the bigger your church, the more, you know, a lot of churches start here and then they add this and then they connect them. And then they come back here and they add this. And then they come over here and they add this. And so as your church does that over the years and decades, you might have to start thinking about, you know, we probably need some radios of some kind. TDF got by with the ones that you buy at Dick's Sporting Goods or Academy Sports or something like that, just the ones that you see hunters carry or, you know, people carrying on four-wheelers. We got by with those for several years. And then here in the last 4 or 5 years, we switched over to just business class, commercial grade, higher wattage radios, and it just lets you communicate in a more quickly efficient manner. I would recommend earpieces. It's a little embarrassing when you got somebody wearing a radio or carrying a radio and you got somebody else calling in a suspicious person who happens to be standing next to another guy with a radio who hears himself being described on the radio. So, you know, you might want to take some steps to avoid that. And that's totally theoretical. That never really happened at TDF. Yeah, whoops is right. So, you know, a lot of people don't like the earpiece. Oh, what are you, CIA today? Ask me how many times I've heard that one. Yeah. Good gracious. Mr. CIA and, you know, all the funny little comments that you get. But it's so much better to know that you can hear what needs to be heard, but even the guy standing here can't hear it. And so that person could be being described to you. You can hear it and respond discreetly. You just really don't want radios being open. Radios with multiple channels is very helpful. We have a code at TDF that if I need to communicate with just my team, we can jump to a separate channel where we can communicate very cleanly, very openly. Where we do have some radios scattered around the building in a welcome center and a coffee shop, that if they need us, they can get us. But if I need to describe, you know, hey, green shirt, black pants, arms folded, you know, if I need to describe something that, you know, we need to know, we need to act on, we can jump to different channels. So that might be something you want to consider too. Training. It's going to vary greatly. You know, in a perfect world, the only people we would put on our safety security teams are active duty Navy SEALs and active duty Secret Service. That's the only people I want on my team. Well, number one, I'm not on the team anymore. And number two, how many of those are in your churches? And so at some point, you have to come to grips with the reality of who's in your church. But at the same time, the other reality you have to come to grips with is we may be asking these people to come to church carrying weapons. And if you're asking them to come to church carrying weapons, you'd better get them some training. Because I don't want to get off on politics, but as strongly a supporter as I am of the Constitution of the Bill of Rights in this country, there's some people that have no business carrying weapons. Because they're idiots and they have no idea how to use them. Now, having said that, man, it is a free country and they can carry them. But if you're going to put them on your team, you better get them some training. So you're going to have to find that balance between who do we have available, what's our budget. If you've got a budget that you can actually afford to get the team, to get some equipment, to get some training, you're probably going to end up with a team that looks a little differently from the next church that may not have those kinds of things. So just be mindful of what your church's resources are and how that works. You know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, TDF has two different teams, a safety team that's basically eyes and ears, and then we have a security team. The safety team is unarmed. The security team is armed. And so the safety team being eyes and ears are basically saying, hey, this doesn't look right or doesn't sound right. And then the security team is the one that comes and says, all right, here's what we're going to do. And, you know, whether it's just a suspicious person, homeless, transient, or somebody that's really causing a problem, here's what we're going to do. And I talked about the four different channels. Our private training channel, in our particular case, there's a company there in the Nashville area. You'll laugh at this. But the name of this company is Agape Tactical. Selfless, sacrificial love, tactical. I give the guy a little bit of grief every time I see him. But anyway, they offer different levels of training. We require that they go through level two handgun training class through them. Level one is a very fundamental, just kind of a basics, and level two gets more into a little more dynamic, a little more active, a little more difficult. So we require at least a level two training to be on our team. And then once they get on our team, we basically do that training class every year. So something's better than nothing. You know, even if you have an usher that's willing to sit at the back or the front, depending on how your church is laid out, and just watch the door, man, that's a good thing. Because if you start going around, you're looking at some of the more severe issues that churches have faced, if you can stop it in the parking lot, you're in a whole lot better situation than letting it get in the doors of your church. So even that's better than nothing. Start somewhere and build from there. You know, it might be that next week, next month, later this year, you've got one person that you know can actually do something. Well, start there. And just start growing. Start asking these questions. You're not going to have everything on week one. It's going to take some time to grow into that. If you know somebody that really would be good for it, don't feel bad just shoulder tapping. You know, you can put out open appeals. Here's a ministry we're talking. And like I said earlier, if you're the pastor and you're the one openly promoting and talking about it, it's probably going to go a lot further and quicker than if somebody else is running it and you're just allowing them to run it. I said this earlier, but avoid the Rambos, avoid the wannabes. Because the objective is that when people come to your church, they're free from distraction, they're free from the concerns, they're able to worship in spirit and truth. That's the objective. And so when a person comes through that door and they're greeted by somebody that's kind of socially awkward, but he volunteered, and man, we need volunteers, so we really want that guy. But yet he's kind of socially awkward and he makes people uncomfortable. That may not be the person you want. And I will tell you right now, telling people no is not an easy thing. But in this case, I just feel like there's times you're just going to have to say no. So avoid the Rambos and the wannabes. We're trying to enhance the atmosphere of worship. That's the objective. Be mindful of burnout. Both yourself, your team, be mindful of that. TDF has seen quite a bit of turnover. And so that's something that you want to be working through.